to make moral use of our organs, our senses, and members of our bodies. And if you're asking me a question, Brother Mitchell, what do you mean by moral use? That is using them properly. The Bible teaches that we can use our senses improperly. We can use organs of our body sinfully and improperly, but we can also use them in the way the Almighty God intended them to be used. In fact, two passages, one of them is found in John, 1 John 2:16. The other one is Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Both passages are dealing with how we use our senses, our members of our body. Let us hear those two passages. And that is 1 John 2:16.
For all that is in the world,
all that is in the world,
the lust of the flesh,
the lust of the flesh,
and the lust of the eyes.
Wait there. You notice, or if you have not noticed this before, I'm bringing it to your attention. The lust of the eyes, what it is saying here is one of our senses, the eye, that can be used as a channel of sin. The lust of the eyes. Look at the passage in, was that 1 John chapter 2, 16. Look at the passage in Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Read.
That ye should obey it in the lusts thereof.
Read.
Neither yield ye your members.
Wait, notice here it is talking about members of our body. Neither yield you what? Members.
As instruments.
As instrument of unrighteousness. So here you have two passages bringing to our attention that our senses and members of our body can be used in sinful ways. One of the senses of which God's word has much to say is our ear and hearing. I repeat, one of the senses I was about to point out, it is said that we have what, five senses, smell, sight, hearing, seeing, etc. But one of the senses, this one is hearing, that the Bible has much to say about is the ear and hearing. Very few, if any, member of our bodies or our senses has God's word spoken so directly, so concisely as it does the ear. What I'm saying is that there are probably few other parts of our body or our senses of which God's word has so much to say as it does the ear. Let us just run to one or two passages. Proverbs chapter, and that's appropriate because we are dealing with the wise man Solomon when we talk about Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 12 and 13. We wish we have another, okay, we have Michael, but he, okay, let us hear Proverbs 5, verse 1.
My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear into my understanding.
Bow what, brother?
Bow thine ear to my understanding.
Bow your ear
to my understanding.
This means that the hypothetical son being spoken about here should use his ear attentively. That was verse 1. Step down to verse 12 and 13.
And see, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me.
I did not incline my ear to them that instruct me. And the passage indicates that there are consequences for not inclining our ear. Now, an often repeated statement in the Bible is, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, I'm going to list some of the passages in which this statement is made. In fact, it's really a command. Anyone who has an ear, let him hear. And that is, pay attention to God's word. It is said that this wise saying, which, as I've said, it means to be wise in using your ear. It means to be receptive in using your ear. It means you must be attentive in using your ear. It means you must be responsible in using your ear. That statement, it is said in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. It is said in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. It is repeated in verse 43. It is repeated in Mark chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 23. It is said also in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 8. It is also repeated in Luke chapter 14 and verse 35, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, and verse 22. All of these passages. Wait, I'm not listing all the passages. I just list a few of the passages where the inspired writer call upon us to use our ears attentively, wisely, properly, conscientiously, and responsibly. Why has the Bible placed so much emphasis and this member of our body that we so often forget that it is there? Up front, let me point out something here. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, without the ear, there can be no faith. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells why. Let us hear that passage. Romans 10, 17.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So if what God is saying in this passage, if you refuse to hear, you cannot have faith. If you are unable to hear, you cannot have faith. Because faith comes by being instructed by the word of God. But Brother Mitchell, I thought I get faith from my dream, from my vision. No, it has to come by being taught God's word. God fixed it like that. And this is why the Bible places, at least one of the reasons, so much emphasis on the responsible, wise use of our ears. Now, all the passages listed that I have mentioned, all these are calls and divine directive to use the ear wisely, carefully, sensibly, productively, and conscientiously. Let us run to the passage of Mark, chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. Mark. Chapter 4.
If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them,
wait. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear.
And he
said, dog eat the supper of the man who doesn't have ear. Truly. If any man, you see, Jesus Christ knows that the Almighty God equipped us, every one of us, with ear. Now, the ball is now in our court to use our ear in a responsible, sensible way. When we run upon this statement throughout the New Testament, it is a call to be attentive, responsible, conscientious listeners, especially when you are dealing with the Word of God. Don't ever take it for granted. Read on, brother.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear.
Take heed. Wait. It's not only if you have ear, you must hear, and I'll be speaking a little more about that. But the Bible says what, brother?
Take heed what ye hear.
Take heed what you hear. Read on.
With what measure ye meet.
Uh-huh.
It shall be measured to you.
Uh-huh.
And unto
Wait. Did you know that simple statement is saying the amount of attention you put out in listening to God's word, studying God's word, will determine the reward you get in terms of knowledge. Read that little part again. With what measure?
With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you.
In other words, why I take time off to explain this, that is one part of the verse that we usually sort of just run over. And it is important what Jesus Christ is saying. How much you or I going to understand God's word will be dependent on how much effort we put out to understand it. That's right. Read on, brother.
and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Mm-hmm.
For he that hath, to him shall be given.
Mm-hmm.
And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath.
May I? He that art and hear, let him hear. This is, the statement is really informing us that the ear was made for this purpose of hearing, and it must be so employed. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Our ear was made for that purpose. And Jesus Christ, in this statement that we have just read in the passage of Mark chapter 4, is telling us that we must make sure that we employ our ear for the purpose for which it was given by the Almighty God. May I? When any gift given to us by God, when any power, when any ability given to us by God, when any sense given to us by God, when they are employed for the purpose, for the end, for the objective for which they were given by God, we are blessed. And the potency of this beat ability, member of our body, their very potency is increased by the proper use that we make of them. Nature has no use. Yes. An intelligent nature, as we look at it, nature has no use for the non-productive. That is, nothing, anything that exists and does not contribute in one form or the other to its environment or to human benefit, nature takes care of it. I have a lesson in which the fruitless fig tree, uselessness invites disaster. That is true always. And most likely this will be a two-part lesson. In next week's lesson, the second part and final part of this lesson, I will say more on that point, that the Almighty God himself, we will be reading one or two passages where Jesus Christ points out that hearing they did not hear and seeing they did not see. Why? Because when you or I do not want to hear God's word and understand it, it matters how many times you have heard it, it will be as if you have never heard it. God will be working against us if God sees we have no keen, true interest in learning his will. God will be working on our behalf when he sees that we are putting out effort to understand his will. Uselessness truly invites disaster in almost any area of life. That is a fact. Not only as God's word instructed us to use our ear for the purpose it was meant by God, but God's word wants us to be careful, discriminate listeners.
That's important. I repeat, one,
God's word teaches us to use our ear responsibly, wisely, and conscientiously. That's one. Two, God's word instructs us to be discriminate and careful listeners. Read verse 24 again of the passage of Mark. It is chapter 4, verse 24.
And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear.
Take heed
what ye hear.
What you hear.
With what measure ye meet.
Wait, stop there, brother. Take heed what you hear. That's very important. I learned many years ago that if you use your ears as a garbage bin, people will put garbage in it. That's a fact. We set ourselves back when we become recipients of gossip and mischief and whatever. So this passage, Jesus Christ is speaking. So it's not just that the ear should allow itself to hear any and anything. In this passage of Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus Christ the Master, the one who gave us our ear for the proper use and benefit, Jesus Christ say, be careful what you hear. Brothers and sisters, are you living in the same world I'm living in today? We have never heard so much, whatever your age, we have never heard so much as we have heard over the past two or so years about disinformation, misinformation. Lies, fake news. Of all, gosh, I am 22. No, sorry. This month I will be what, 82? Okay. Of all my years, I've never, in fact, those words meant nothing to me in the past. But over the past two or three years, fake news, misinformation, disinformation, and you know where all of that is going? In the ears. And you know what? They are affecting our lives. May I? So that you understand the importance of when Jesus Christ says, be careful of what you hear. One of the world's most successful democratic system. Do we want to go back to Greece or Rome? Or do we want to look in our modern world, place like England, with a parliamentary system? One of the world's greatest and seems to have been probably the most stable democratic system, it's now on rocky ground. I'm not making that up. It's the very people who are living in this country are seeing it and are afraid. And rocky ground, people are now concerned about whether there will be any democracy in this country. And you know what it comes from? Fake news. disinformation, misinformation, lies. That's a fact. That's why Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth. You see, that's what we are interested in. We should not take interest in fake news, misinformation, disinformation, lies, and deception. We are interested in Jesus' truth. So when Jesus Christ tells us that we must be careful what we hear, Jesus Christ is saying we must be discriminating listeners. We must be listeners who sift the wheat from the tares. We must be listeners who sift the false from the truth. We must be, or else you are in trouble. You become vulnerable when you are not a discriminating listener. When you are a careless listener, anything people bring to your ears, you swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Whenever you are like that, you are in danger. You are easily misled. You are easily guided. You are easily influenced. Woo. Take heed in reference to what you hear. Huh? And wait. This happened. This business of misinformation, disinformation, fake news, lies, it affects so many areas of our lives. Wait. It exists politically, in the political world. It exists in the medical world. It exists in the social world. Wait, it exists especially in the religious world. Just months ago, right in our border, one man was teaching his member that human sacrifice. And do you know what? People believe it. They had forgotten that Jesus Christ had warned us to be careful what you open your ears to. In any neighborhood, the one in which you live, the one in which I live, the people who are engaged in gossip and mischief and lies and disinformation and misinformation and fake news, those are the most likely ones to always be in quarrel and contention with others. And so it is in the church. Are we all there?
Don't be gullible when it comes to the use of your ears. Let
us look at a few passages here. If we're going to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:21, then we are going to move on to 1 John 4:1. Then we are going to move on to Ephesians chapter 4, 13 and 14. Then we are going to move on to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. All these passages are teaching in one form or the other that we should not be gullible. We should be discriminating listeners. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for warning us. Give us the courage and the wisdom to take your warning. Be careful what you hear. Wait. Your soul is in grave danger if everybody who comes with Christ tag onto it, the Bible tag onto it, and God's name tag onto it, if you accept it. Your soul is in great danger. You don't believe me? Listen to these passages. Did I say 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse
21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good.
You get the drift? Wait. You all get the drift? Paul is ending this letter, and he encourages audience. Are we all there? Put everything to the test. And when you sift whatever come your way, then you are in a position to select that which is right and that which is appropriate. Are we all there? Prove all things.
Hold fast.
Hold tightly.
That which is good.
To that which is good. Wait, the implication, you know, the implication is that the things by which we are confronted, they will not all be good. Are we all there? Prove all things. All things need to be approached in a discriminating way. That you must, and you see, especially when it comes to religion, your relationship with God, don't take that for granted. Prove all things. When Paul wrote what he wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians 21, from where we are reading, he was writing to the Christian at Thessalonica, and he was telling them that when it comes to your spiritual life, when it comes to your relationship with God, when it comes to pleasing God, put everything to the test. My God, we believe everything that comes with God's name, Christ's name, and the Bible name, and it is right. No. If you live in Jamaica, you need not for me to tell you, man, what happened in St. James recently. How could men and women in this day and age where everybody can have a Bible, and in fact there's a Bible, I imagine, in every home, and when a false teacher going to tell you that God accepts human sacrifice? Huh? And there were thousands of people or hundreds of people who accept that. I see him, church, if you were late, they charge you. The foolish things that people can believe religiously. So when Jesus Christ told us that we must be careful what we hear, we can understand. You have read from the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 21. Read it again quick, and then run to the book of 1 John 4, 1.
Prove all things.
That means put everything, and especially religiously, that comes to your ears, put it to the test.
Amen.
Wait, this is the standard. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the standard. Anything that does not measure up to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is false.
Amen.
Wait, even if it comes from an angel from heaven.
Amen.
If it does not measure up to the gospel of Christ, it is false.
Amen.
Prove all things.
Hold fast.
Then it is putting everything through the mental and whatever test you can, using God's word, that you will know what is right from what is wrong.
Amen.
And it is then, the word fast means tightly, hold tightly to that which is good.
Amen.
Look now in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1.
Beloved. Believe not every spirit.
Believe not every spirit. Wait. This is not talk about dopey. Spirit here is talk about men who preach. In our time, men and women who preach. How do I know? Listen to the rest of the verse. Start again, brother.
Beloved.
Beloved.
Believe not every spirit.
Believe not every spirit.
But try the spirits.
What?
But try the spirits.
What?
Try the spirits.
In other words, don't be gullible. Put them to the test. Try the spirit.
Whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Now, that's God-inspired writer. That everything that comes to you with religion on it, be careful how you accept it. Why? Many false prophets are gone out in... It didn't say a few, you know. Many. That's why Jesus Christ wants us to be careful what we hear. And that's why his inspired servant is telling us that when any man, woman come to you telling you they are servants of God, they are God's spokesperson, they are prophet, and they are this and they are that, the passage and the consideration here, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it is telling us to put them to the test. And if you had forgotten, let me remind you again, the gospel of Christ is the test. Men and women and what we teach and what we practice should be measured by what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. Huh? Let me go on a little further. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, brother. Read.
Till we all come in one. Till we all come in one. The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we
Wait. Now here the word till, it's a time element in the statement. And it is telling you, Paul is saying to his audience, the Christian at Ephesus, it's like the Jesus Christ have them on a progressive road. They should progress, eh? They should grow in Christ. They should grow in knowledge from God's word. Because the Almighty God has a goal, an objective that God wants them to reach, so that when they reach that goal, that objective, that path, then they are better protected. So, till we all come to
the unity of the faith.
Wait, notice this. The unity of the faith. No, that is not talk about our belief. The faith is referring to the body of teaching.
Amen.
The faith is talking about the body of doctrine delivered by the Holy Spirit to the apostle, and the apostle delivered it in writing to us.
Amen.
The faith, till we all come to the unity of the
faith. Amen.
Read on.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
And the knowledge, until we reach the point where we know Jesus Christ and his will.
Amen.
Read on.
Unto a perfect man.
Unto a, the word perfect means full grown.
Amen.
That is spiritual. But watch now, when the brother reach that verse you had stopped, is what verse was that?
Verse 13.
Let me hear it.
That we henceforth...
Wait. That we henceforth... That is, as of that point, when you reach that point,
amen,
where you have a grip on the faith, that is the doctrine of Christ, the body of teaching delivered to the apostle. When you have a full knowledge of that, what will happen? That we
henceforth...
The word henceforth means as of that point.
Amen.
As of then. what happened?
Be no more children.
Uh-huh.
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Wait. You get God's drift there? God doesn't want us, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, he doesn't want us to be people who every religious falsehood that come our way, we think it is religious truth. God doesn't want that, because that's not, you see, God is a holy God. Don't ever think God going to accept you or me when we accept religious falsehood. That we no more children toss
to and fro,
which means here and there, with every wind of
doctrine.
That is, every religious teaching come, once it sounds good, we accept it. God does not want that. So that's why the business about the faith, one or two more points and the lesson is yours. Just in another, hopefully I can wrap up in another 10 minutes or so. Because I don't want to come back to this passage. Remember, there are some other instruction given about the years that is safe for next week. We are looking only on two this week. One, Jesus Christ implied when he said, he that art and hear to hear, let him hear. He's telling you that's the purpose for which God gives us our ear. And then after that, the first thing he mentioned is that we must be careful what we hear. But there are two other things. In fact, may I just throw them out? He also warns us that we must be careful how we hear. No, that's right. Wait. He also warns us that we must be careful who we hear from. Those will come up in next week's Sunday morning's lesson. But we are stopping on what? No, we are still on what, you know. Jesus Christ warned us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24 that we must be careful what we hear. That means don't just expose your ability to hear to any type of falsehood and religious foolishness. Look now, we have just left Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And you had read verse 14? Yes. Okay. While we are in Ephesians, in fact, brother, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, I think I want verse 1.
But there were false prophets also among the people.
That's 2 Peter. But you have just read that in 1 John chapter 4. I know you have read it, bro. You know, it's how striking it is. You have two different apostles. What the brother read in 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. That was 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Now he's reading another apostle, Peter, inspired by God. And almost the same thing. They had written to different audience. But it was imperative that they warn their audience of falsehood. And this is why Jesus Christ encouraged us to be careful what we hear. Let us hear Peter now, brother, since we have heard John already. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1.
But there were false prophets. Also among the people.
Among the people.
Even as there shall be false teachers among you.
You all hear that? That's why Jesus Christ warns us, encourages us. Don't just subject your ear to any and all that religious foolishness that is around. There is a standard given to us by God, and it is called the gospel. Now, how do you know it is the standard, Brother Mitchell? when in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, Peter made a mistake in practicing segregation. You know what Paul said? When he corrected Peter, he said, you did not walk according to the gospel. That is the standard. And that is the standard that we are to use to measure every person, every teaching, every practice. Now, there shall be false prophet among you. Don't be gullible. We don't have time to look at Jeremiah 6:16. Where he encourages us that when you stand at the crossroad of confusion and falsehood. Yes. Jeremiah, we're not going to go there, but I'm telling you where it is from. When you stand at the crossroad of confusion and falsehood, you must not make a move until you stand still and carry out investigation. I wish we have time to deal with that, but time has gone. Suffice it to say, Jesus Christ in his teaching encourages us to use our ears in a moral way, in a proper and right way. That is to listen. When a person brings religious or any type of foolishness and garbage to your ears, Jesus Christ warning there about what you hear in the book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus Christ is saying, don't waste time with the foolishness, the falsehood that men and women are going to bring you. He that art and hear to hear, let him hear. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you can become a child of God. Wait. You can become a Christian today the very same way men and women became Christian in the first century. Wait. That's the only way. That's the only right way to become a Christian. That's right. If you and I become a Christian differently, wait. You see, we live in an environment where you go to this church here and they tell you to become a member, you do this. You go to that one there and they tell you to become a member, you do this. But what that one tell you is different from what this one tell you. And you go to this one and they tell you to become a member, this is what you do. What this one tell you was different from what this one tell you and what that one tell you. The Almighty God has no such confusion. Every person, the book of Acts of the Apostle is the book of conversion. And listen this carefully. Every person in the book of Acts, when I say it is the book of conversion, that's the book in which if you want to know how men and women became Christian under the guidance of the Apostle while they were alive, you read the book of Acts. And you will notice that every man, every woman became Christian the same way. And if you read Acts and find out that this one became Christian differently from this one was told something differently from this one, please contact us. 933-5550. Yes. If you go and read Acts of the Apostles, and find that what I have just said is not in keeping with what you see. That every person in the book of Acts of the Apostles became Christian the same way. They were told the same thing to do. If you find that I'm making a mistake, you need to let me know. Because what I'm saying to you, God doesn't have a way where this church tell you to become a member this way, that one. No. The inspired apostle in the book of Philippians tell us that we must walk by the same rule. That's God's way. And we are saying that you can become a Christian today, the very way men and women became Christian when the apostles were alive, teaching men and women as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is the only right way to become Christian. Wait. There is a difference between church membership and becoming a Christian. That you are a member of the church doesn't mean you are a Christian. What do I mean? What many churches tell you to do to become member is completely different from what Jesus Christ tells men and women to do to get their sins dealt with. I don't want to preach until tonight. So let me encourage the brother to prepare his invitation song. There's much more in this lesson. Christ warns us not only in respect to what we hear. There are two or three other warnings that we need to look, and all of them is in respect, in reference to our ears. But you have heard enough today to save you, and you have heard enough to condemn you. When we obey Jesus' truth, it saves us. When we reject Jesus' truth, we are under condemnation. But you are wiser than that. If you're here today as a man or as a woman, there's nothing greater than starting the year the right way. Giving your life to Jesus Christ, forming an alliance with the Almighty God through Christ, and doing it the right way, the Bible's way. So, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He is the only one who can deal with your sin problem. And sin is your worst problem. Christ can deal with it, whatever your sin is. You believe in Christ, then you must repent of your sin. That is, you must make a decision to turn from all the things you know to be wrong, to be ungodly, to be contrary to the will of God. That is repentance. The word really means to take a turn in the opposite direction. Repentance is a type of metamorphosis. You see, the process by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly in botany and in the animal world, it is called a metamorphosis. It is a change. The word used for repentance and that word comes from the same root. When you become a Christian, you are taking the opposite direction in life. The direction you're on now is living for yourself, doing what you want, what you like, how you see things. Rather, it is sinful or ungodly. It's not important to you. What is important is that you want it. When you become a Christian, what is foremost is what God wants. So you must repent. Christ says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And after repentance, are you a Christian? No. You must be willing to confess Christ's name. Put another way, you must not be ashamed of Christ. Are you a Christian? Then no. You must be baptized. Oh, my name was so no believing in water salvation, Mr. Mitchell. Well, we believe in whatever Jesus Christ placed in the gospel. And we are told that even now baptism doeth save us. That's what the Bible says, that baptism save us now. The Bible says, repent and be baptized. for the removal. The word remit or remission means removal of your sin. Yes, you can take those steps right now. You can leave here today a child of God, hearing the word of Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, a willingness to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be baptized. Wait. I give Brat and the brother going to step up with the invitation song. Bible baptism is an immersion. It was never a sprinkling. It has never been confirmation. God's baptism is a burial in water. Let us stand.